hear my mocking voice. Call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there. Until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know. It is finished. I struggle with those words. Those words are hard for me. Because they mean recognizing and admitting that I am personally responsible for the death of Jesus. It was my sin that held him there. I'm not one to take responsibility for much of anything in my life, let alone my mistakes. When I think about it, it's hard because how can I be to blame for something that happened thousands of years ago? What does that ancient hunk of wood on that solitary hill in Jerusalem have to do with me and my life? It's easier to be removed. It's easier for me to live my life focusing on my priorities and the daily routines that I have and let the story remain a story. It's easier, even if the death of Jesus did happen, it's easier if it's not personal to me, but rather just a piece of Christian teaching. Rather, a part of our doctrine that we can agree upon and nod at from time to time and then set aside for more pressing concerns. It's far more palatable for the death of Jesus to be an idea or a story or a symbolic act that we can keep at arm's length. Than for it to be a crime for which I am personally responsible. It's hard because I don't want to think of my voice, my mocking voice being added amongst the scoffers, laying down revulsions before him. I don't want to think and hear my own voice being added to the throng saying, "Crucify him." I don't want to feel the weight of the hammer in my hand as I gore those nails into his flesh. But before we can see the cross of Christ as something that is done for us, we have to see it as something that's done by us. And that's why we're here tonight. Because Christ didn't die in a far-off land for a far-off people. Jesus died upon a cross for our sins. And not just for the sins of all those people all those years ago, but for the sins of the entire world. For your sins and for my sins, for the sins of our neighbors, for the sins of our parents and our grandparents, our children and our grandchildren. For each and for all. Our Lord Jesus paid the price. Because we needed him to. Because we needed it. because we're lost, because we're broken, because we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves from being selfish and hurtful and spiteful. It's who we are. It's who we've always been. It's who all of us are. It's the default position of every person from the very beginning. Each and every one of us have personally contributed to this gruesome scene. And that's the point. His blood is on our hands. But what does it for me? What hits home for me in this whole thing, this whole picture, this whole night, is the reversal. You see, it's not hard for me to see the broken things. In my life, in the lives of those around me, in my community, in our country, in our nation, across the world, throughout this entire people, I see the sickness. And there's only one cure: the innocent blood of Jesus. And it's there where we see the depth of the love that our Father has for us, that He would give His one and only Son to die upon this sacrificial altar, the sacrificial altar of a cross, to cleanse us, to heal this sickness, to wash us in His blood and make us whole again. It's for our sake. It's for our sake that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, who was without sin, who was perfect and blameless and holy and innocent, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. In Him, we have redemption. We are redeemed. We are bought back in and by and through His blood, according to the richness of God's infinite mercy. And so, as I stand here, and as I stand with those who placed Him on that cross, as I stand here with His blood still fresh on my hands, Christ, from the cross, speaks words of forgiveness. Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he does. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, forgive us, for we need your forgiveness. And it is found in you and in you alone. Amen.